Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
The title of the message tonight, Being a Disciple of Christ. We got any disciples in the house? So what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, a pupil, or we can just say, I've heard this so many times, you know, a follower of Christ. A disciple is a follower of Christ. We in this room, we are disciples. We are followers of Christ. Some synonyms for disciple is an enthusiast. Are we enthusiasts for Christ? Devotee. Learner, we said that one. Zealot. That's sounding kind of serious. We said pupil. What about this? Fanatic. That, you look it up in the dictionary, that is a synonym for disciple. Fanatic. We still got a few more. And I put them in the order of simpleness. So the last one is wow. So we're up to fanatic. You ready for this one? Freak. Got any Jesus freaks out there? Yeah! Nut. Got any nuts out there? You know. Here's another one, junkie. Because see, listen, the word disciple isn't necessarily, I mean, the Bible version of disciple is a follower of Christ, but the word disciple necessarily is you're following. Who are you following? What are you so enthusiastic about? What are you fanatical about? What makes you a fanatic? Who makes you a fanatic? Freak, nut, junkie. He wants us to be Jesus junkies. And here's the last one, groupie. I'm an enthusiast. I am a fanatic. I'm a freak. I'm a nut. I'm a junkie. And I'm a groupie for Jesus. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to be his disciples. So whose disciple are you? Now we say, yes, we're disciples of Christ, you know. But those synonyms, I think, can really help locate us right now in this moment in our life. Don't be fooled. You are learning from whoever is discipling you. You are learning from them, and you are looking like them, and you are becoming them. I want to be a disciple of Christ. Yes. Don't you? Yes. Amen. Disciples. A pupil is teachable. Are we teachable? We're teachable. A pupil, a disciple is pliable, adaptable. Who knows? And sometimes that isn't easy on the flesh. But we must constantly remind ourselves that is a true pupil. That is a true student. Picture in school. You know, the students in school, how ridiculous would that look if those students are sitting out there saying, hey, teacher, I know more than you. Oh, come on. This is, and just be totally unteachable. It's kind of like, why are you here? You're supposed to be here to learn, right? He is the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me, oh God, I pray. Let's remember that we want to stay moldable. We want to stay pliable. And you know, I comes to mind is the water of the word. The Bible is referred to as the water of the word. Who knows that water will help keep you soft. We don't want to get hard. We want to stay soft and pliable and moldable, knowing that he is the potter, glory to God, and we are the clay. But you know, many have this all wrong. They're kind of like, oh Lord, you know, come and make all my dreams come true. You know, they think as soon as they get saved, now, you know, it's all about them. And Jesus is going to help them, all about them. Come and make all my dreams come true. But, you know, in reality, Jesus is endeavoring to say, no, come and follow me and help me make all my dreams come true. And that so came to me, and I wrote that down earlier today because I knew it was like that was something that the Lord really does say. He's like, no, it's not about making your dreams come true. That's not why I got you. I got you to help me make my dreams come true. You think, what in the world does God need from me? He needs you and me. We are his body on this earth. He can't do without me and you. We are the ones that he needs to flow through, to speak to people, to preach to people, to help people, to love people, to show them mercy, to show them forgiveness, to show them the love of Christ. Amen. He's looking for us to make his dreams come true. It's not about your dreams. It's not about my dreams. It's about his dreams. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's not willing that one would perish. No, not one. But that's why we're here, to help him make his dreams come true. And we do know, being a disciple, it's totally volitional. God is not forcing discipleship on anybody. He's not. He has offered it, and it is our choice. It is completely volitional, and we choose. And who knows, we choose daily. It wasn't just one choice. One time we gave choice. Yes, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. We prayed that sinner's prayer and that's all. That was it. No, daily we must choose to follow him. We must choose to follow him, to be his disciple, his disciplined ones. That's another definition for that, a disciplined one. A disciple is a disciplined one. And I believe we need to give voice to that choice every single day. I'm following Jesus today. I'm following Jesus today. I'm his disciple. And what does that mean? I'm following Jesus today. Well, it's walking in his character. It's walking in his convictions. Who knows that the Spirit of God, our hearts get convicted, don't they? So what is it following Jesus? It's walking and following the convictions of our heart every day, deciding every day, I'm doing it Jesus' way. Hallelujah. Another thing, a disciple is a student of the Word and the Spirit. And I wrote this down, listen to this. As we study his ways, we learn of him. And as we learn of him, we become just like him. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read it actually in the Amplified, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. Wow. That's God's definition of a disciple. I don't really think that matches up very much to the lots of churches and religions in this world, but this is what Jesus said. A disciple does. They don't just claim to be a disciple, but they live being a disciple. So watch this. So we're going to lay this out in three things that I found in here that the Holy Spirit lit up to me one day. Number one, desire him. Right? Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, desire him. Let him deny himself. Number two is deny self. First one is desire him. The second one is to deny self. And then the third one, it says, follow me. So I write daily follow. So desire him, deny self, daily follow. That's what a true disciple is. That's what a true disciple does. That's how a true disciple of Christ is to live. Desiring him, denying self, and daily following him. Let's break it down now. Let's talk about desiring him. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. In the Amplified, as the hart pants, or I'm going to say the deer. We're used to hearing deer. In the Amplified, it says hart. As the deer pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you. Sounds like desire, doesn't it? Oh God, my inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? Wow. And see, he knew my inner self thirsts for you. His inner man, he knew I am thirsty for you. I am longing for you. And I'm sure him, just like us, had that flesh to deal with. But he knew that desire on the inside of him, that thirst and longed and desired for God. In Psalm 27, verse 8, the Amplified, it says, "You have said, seek my face, inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, I will seek, inquire for, and require of necessity and on the authority of your will." It sounds like he is desiring something. He's desiring to seek God's face. He's desiring God's presence. Psalm 73, verse 25. It says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you." There is none on the earth that I desire besides you. So this is possible. This is possible. And this is what God wants for us. And let's not be like, oh, this is not possible for me. Of course it's possible for us. That we can, and I mean, even as I was looking at it, it was growing such a desire in me to love him more and desire him even more. Because we can all grow in our desire for him. And we all need, I believe God expects us to. He wants us to. He's longing for us to desire him. And it's like the first step of being a disciple. Desire him. I mean, who in here wouldn't desire peace? You desire peace? Well, then you desire him. Because there's no peace apart from him. Right? You desire life? You desire him. Because there's no life apart from him. You desire love? We all desire love. Well, then you desire him. Because there's no love apart from him. See? You desire him. You desire fulfillment? You desire him, because there's no fulfillment apart from him. People try and fulfill with other things, but there is no fulfillment like Jesus. We are his, and we truly do desire him. You desire him. Now, yes, we can grow in our desire for him, but you desire him. There's something in you. And it's the Spirit of God. It's your spirit that's come alive unto God. And it desires God. And it's the flesh that tries to always make it hard. But you desire God. That's who you desire. That's who I desire. So now how are we going to do this thing? How are we going to go with that desire and come up higher? Step number two, deny self. Now listen, living by our desire for him is not without boundaries. So we're saying, yes, we desire him, but you know, desiring him, it can't be a life without boundaries. We need boundaries. What's another word for boundaries? Rules. And I know people don't like rules, and I know the world's got all those slogans and everything they say, no rules, just right. How about this? Yes, rules in order to be right. It's not no rules, just right. See, because when there's no rules, everything's right. Because there's nothing wrong. Because there was no rule. But when there's a rule, there's wrong and there's right. So the world wants our kids to be growing up with, hey, no rules, just right. No, 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 no. The Spirit of God says, yes, rules, to help you be right. To help set those boundaries around your life. Boundaries of protection. We all need them. So deny self. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's turn there. We're going to read verse 1 through 3. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves." Who is he talking to? You and me. "Arm yourselves with the same mind." What mind? That mind that's willing to let the flesh suffer. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Listen, it's one or the other. Isn't that amazing? You're either living for the lust of the flesh or for the life of God. It can't be both. It don't work. So having a mind to suffer, you know, it's going to be painful to the flesh, but pleasing to the heart. Come on, you know as well as I do. Those times, those moments you found yourself, it was painful to your flesh because your flesh was screaming. It was painful to that flesh. Oh, but when it passed over, it was so pleasing to your heart that from God you didn't depart. And of course, when it's pleasing to our heart, we know it's pleasing to God's heart. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. I want to read that in the English version. They're going to put it up there. Talking about denying self. And so because he died, speaking of Jesus here, sin has no power over him. And now he lives his life in fellowship with God. In the same way, you are to think of yourselves as dead. Come on, it's easy when you just think of yourself as dead to deny your flesh. So far as sin is concerned, but living in fellowship with God through Christ Jesus, sin must no longer rule in your mortal bodies so that you obey the desires of your natural self, nor must you surrender any part of yourselves to sin to be used for wicked purposes. Anything that is not of God, anything that doesn't come from God, anything that you wouldn't want to do in front of God is wicked. And it doesn't belong in the life of a disciple. And we are doing it. We can do it, and we're doing it, glory to God. We're changing, we're repenting, and we're going on. Hallelujah. Instead, give yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life and surrender your whole being to him to be used for righteous purposes. Our bodies, our members, our whole body, we are to be used, righteous members, for God's purposes. Not for the purposes of our life and what we want. Remember, we're helping to fulfill his dreams, his purpose. But I love that. As you think of yourself as dead, sin has no power over you. That'll help in areas. It's helped me times before. When I just consider yourself dead, sin loses its hold. That's what those scriptures, that's what we were just told. Sin loses its hold when you consider your body dead. Here's an example of a great man of God, Moses, over in Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses chose rightly. Why? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he looked toward the reward. He looked past this moment in time, and he chose to suffer the affliction there that he did find. The Amplified, it says, because he preferred to share the oppression, suffer the hardships. Well, sounds like suffering in the flesh, doesn't it? And bear the shame of the people of God rather than to have the fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. The fleeting enjoyment. It's enjoyment. Fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. Rather, I wrote this down, rather than partaking of passing pleasures, he esteemed Christ's treasures. Rather than partaking of the passing pleasures, he esteemed Christ's treasures. Praise God. His self he denied, so his destiny stayed alive. His self he denied, so his destiny stayed alive. You listen to me. Each and every one of us has a destiny of God upon our life. We are not here by accident. We are not here by our own will. Every single one of you I am looking at has a call of God on life, a purpose of God in this life, and a destiny from God to fulfill his purpose and his will. But this world has lied and bound the people of God for so long, thinking they can do it their way. And still have God's ways. And they're wrong. It's God's way for God's ways. Your devotion to him will cause a promotion from him. Your devotion to him will cause a promotion from him. You're not in it to try and be seen. You're not in it to have a name. You're in it because you are devoted to him and he knows it. And that's why then he can use you to proclaim his name. Your devotion to him will cause a promotion from him. Praise God. Don't focus on denying the flesh, but just focus on getting God. Just get God. Go get him. Just go get him. Just go for God. Go for God. Go for God. Because you know, over in Galatians 5, it talks about when we walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we don't have to focus on, oh, I can't do this. I got to stop doing this. I can't do that anymore. I got to stop doing this. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to start doing this. All of that. It says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, we don't have to try and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We just have to walk in the Spirit and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Glory to God, it really is quite simple. But you think, oh, well, walking in the Spirit's simple? Yeah, for a spirit being, it sure is. For someone who's walking spiritually minded and not carnally minded, of course it's easy. It's who you are. It's where you walk. It's where you live. That's not hard. It's when we got our mind fixed and carnally fixed on the pleasures and the passing, fleeting pleasures of sin and the things that we want to do and we want to see and we want to go and what we think we want to be. We get stuck in all that. We get it stuck in such muck, and God's just looking to rescue any one of you and pull you up and set your feet upon the rock. And be a vessel, a holy vessel for him that just can't be stopped. You can do it. You can more than do it. Oh, yes, you can. Why? Because we have him. We have the greater one, the greater one living on the inside of us. We have the helper. The Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Thank God Jesus didn't leave and not send the Holy Spirit. Because if he left and didn't send him on down, I don't think there's a chance that any of us would obviously have made it. We needed help. And lots of it. And he knew that. So see, God knows. He supplied everything we need. He supplies everything we would ever need. He knew what we would do, and he supplied everything we need. And it's the gift of the Holy Spirit to you. So, true disciples is who we are. So we've learned, first, desire him. The second one, deny self. Let's go on to daily follow. Daily follow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. We're going to read that in the Amplified. For even to this you were called, it is inseparable from your vocation. So you want to know your calling? So many times people want to know their calling. Oh, you know, there is a calling. I just was having utterance about it. The calling and destiny upon our lives, and there's a purpose, there's a plan, all of that, you know. But sometimes people get so focused on their calling. What is that? They're just focusing on what is that thing I'm supposed to do rather than just being who they're supposed to be. Stop focusing on the doing and just start focusing on the being, and then you'll finally start seeing. For even to this you were called. It is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example, so that you should follow in his footsteps. Follow in his footsteps. I underlined that in my Bible. Follow in his footsteps. We're talking about daily following. So we want to wake up and we want to make that choice and we want to give it voice. I'm following Jesus today. What does that look like to me? I'm going to follow. I'm going to yield to his spirit. I'm going to follow the convictions of my heart. I'm going to live out the character of Christ from the inside out. I'm going to walk in the spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm just going to walk with God. I'm going to follow in his footsteps. John 12, verse 26 in the Amplified. Jesus said, if anyone serves me, this is so good, guys. Jesus said, if anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly, wholly, and that's wholly. Conform, remember, we're the clay, he's the potter, right? Conform wholly to my example. It's not Jesus is supposed to conform to our life. We're to conform to Jesus's life. Conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying. And wherever I am, there will my servant be also. Man, that so got me earlier as I read that. There will my servant be also. What good is a servant if the servant's not with the master? A servant doesn't know what to do. Who does it serve? That servant's servant who he's with. Who are you with? True disciples of Christ. We're with Jesus. We're with Christ. We're his servants. We've given him our life. And as servants of his, we're with him. There will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Sounds like promotion. In the New Living Translation of that same verse, all those who want to be my disciples, got anybody in the room? We want to be Jesus' disciples, right? Let's face it, the whole church world, I mean, come on, you know it. They call themselves disciples of Christ. I think there's even a religion, right? Are they disciples of Christ? It's called disciples of Christ. Here's what Jesus says a disciple of Christ is. All those who want to be my disciples, and look, it's not automatic. It's kind of like, hey, you want to be it? Okay, listen to what I got to say about it. And then you can decide from there if you really want to be it. All those who want to be my disciples must come and follow me. It's not that they continue the life that they want to live and Jesus follows them in. He says, they come and they follow me because my servants must be where I am. Because my servants must be where I am. Oh, come on. Isn't that good? My servants must be where I am. Jesus said, my servants must be where I am. We can say it another way. You know what? My servants, they ought not be where I'm not. They ought not be where I'm not, if they're a servant of mine, true disciples of Christ. And if they follow me, the Father will honor them. Glory to God. Luke chapter 9, verse 59. We're going to read that. You don't even have to turn there. We're going to read it from the screen there in the New Living Translation. We're talking about daily following. Now listen, sometimes when we focus on one thing and there's, you know, these scriptures all at one time, it might seem for some a lot, but I'm surely not going to stand up here and make excuses for the Word of God, because that's what I'm reading tonight. That's what I'm sharing tonight. This is what Jesus says about disciples. Now, it's totally volitional for every single one of us, And not just in this moment, but daily. Because we can say I'm a disciple of Christ today and tomorrow decide I'm not. But and think about it. Who knows? I'm sure we've all probably had, I would dare to say, at least one day where, you know, we kind of got up and we weren't a disciple of Christ. But we can change that now. Because you know what? I think what opportunities were missed that day when I wanted to do it my way. What opportunities did God endeavor to bring my way? But I didn't deny my flesh and I didn't want to pray. So again, this isn't to make us feel bad. This is sobering, isn't it? But God's word, it's sobering. And it's enlightening. And we want to be true disciples of Christ. Here's another scripture. So we said Luke chapter 9, verse 59, New Living Translation. Jesus, he said to another person, come, be my disciple. Imagine this. You're living in Jesus' day, and you're standing there, and Jesus says, come, be my disciple. What do you think you do? Yeah. Listen, the man agreed, but he said, Lord, first, let me return home and bury my father. Jesus replied, let those who are spiritually dead care for their own dead. Boy, that doesn't sound very nice, does it? He was just wanting to go bury his father, and Jesus was saying no. It's kind of like Jesus would repeat himself. No, I said, come, be my disciple. You don't think that Jesus wasn't aware? Probably that his father was dead, maybe? Let's go on. Jesus replied, your duty is to go and preach the coming of the kingdom of God. So here this man's thinking, it seems so righteous, it seems so honorable. I got to go bury my father. But that doesn't matter when Jesus says, come follow me, be my disciple. It didn't matter in comparison. He said, your duty is to go, not to go home and bury your dad. Your duty is to go and preach the coming of the kingdom of God. Now listen, that wouldn't go over too well with the family, would it? And that's where people get so suckered in, thinking they got to please their family in order to help win them and not offend them. Meanwhile, at the very moment, you're offending God and you're making your life hard. That's not the way we want to respond. Verse 61, it goes on. Here's another said. So it seems like Jesus said this to more than one person. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first, let me say goodbye to my family. Second one about family. Interesting, isn't it? But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. He knew if you're already thinking about turning around and going back, you ain't gonna make it, babe. If you are fully following him, we will find ourselves preaching and declaring the gospel. And listen, it is an honorable thing to love your family, to care for your family and all that. But when it comes in comparison to obeying God or doing what they think, that ought not be a hard decision for a disciple of Christ. Both he commanded to come. Both of them he commanded to come. And look at them, both of them. And I'm telling you, it's such a lesson. Both of them was about family. Family will absolutely keep you from the will of God. Would try to, but not us. Because we're being reminded tonight. Glory to God, we're being given greater light. May we learn from this example and not let family stop us from following Jesus. Don't let your family stop you from following Jesus. And they might not understand, but you know what? God does. And he's going to defend you and he's going to reward you too. And it's just going to work out okay. And in the end, they'll know you made the right decision and you did obey. If not on this side, the other side. Because everything comes to the light. Don't let them hold you back. Hallelujah. Here's another example. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read it in the Living Bible. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. Watch this. Later on, as Jesus left town, he saw a tax collector with the usual reputation for cheating, sitting at a tax collection booth. The man's a total sinner. He's got a total reputation for cheating. He's sitting over there. He's sitting for all to see. He's in the tax collection booth. Everyone knows that man there is a tax collector, and that automatically says that man is a cheater. He's a thief. He's a liar. Whatever. They had them labeled. It goes on. The man's name was Levi. Jesus said to him, "Come and be one of my disciples." Come on, Jesus. You're smarter than that, aren't you? You're going to ask a tax collector to come and follow you, to be a disciple? You're going to ask a thief to be a disciple of yours? So Levi left everything, sprang up, and went with them. I'm telling you what, if Levi sprang up, we ought to spring up. But look at that. See, people think it's so hard. No, I got to, but remember like the other ones we were learning. Oh, but wait, let me go bury my dad. Or I just want to say goodbye to my family. I just want to say goodbye, Jesus. It's my family. Simple. Jesus spoke. And it's interesting. He was speaking to a sinner. I mean, come and be one of my disciples. Seems like he was trying to find some disciples. And he was just having a hard time finding some disciples, wasn't he? But I love that Levi, out of all people, Levi sprang up and followed him. He just made it that simple because he knew it was just that simple. And I believe just as he sprung up, glory to God, there was help to do exactly what Jesus said to do. And that was to come be one of my disciples. Levi, I'm picking you. In the New Living Translation of that verse, it says, later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collection booth. Come be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Look how simple Levi let it be. He simply got up, left everything, and followed him. We make it too complicated. So this is like even when we were first born again. But what are we talking about? We want to desire him, deny self, and daily follow. Let's not make it difficult. But daily following, this is a decision every day. Jesus, you're calling me to be your disciple. You're calling me up into even yet a higher way. I'm going to be your disciple today. I'm going to be your disciplined one. I choose, and I give voice to my choice. May we learn from this example. Because here, what was his job was he was a tax collector. But look, he didn't let his job get in the way of following Jesus that day, did he? And that's a big one for a lot of people, too. It truly is. Let God speak to you. Let him help you. You don't let your job be your Jesus, that you're following your job rather than Jesus. May we learn from his example and not let our job stop us from following Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Have you been helped tonight? Glory to God. He's so good. I'm telling you what, he so burned this in me. This is what he wanted to say to us tonight. He wanted to help bring us into yet an even greater light of what is a disciple of Christ.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Jean Fraser by going to her media page at jeanfraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Jean's bi-monthly ladies' Bible studies and a night in the glory ladies' meetings. as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is jeanfraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.